Christ is among us. A welcome to all our visitors today, in particular some former parishioners of mine in Colorado. One of their daughters is moving to Dallas, and so they're moving her in today, and they contacted me about 2 or 3 weeks ago and said, "Father, we heard that you're down there somewhere." And I said, "Yes, I am." And so they're here visiting us, Charlie Danaher and his family. Joey is the one moving down here. So welcome. As we say down in Texas, y'all come back now, y'all here. The season of Great Lent can aptly be described as an ascent of love, an ascent of love. Through the various practices of self-denial, above all this great fast that's particular to us as Byzantines, you and I ascend Mount Calvary. And at the top of this mount, as we'll experience on Great and Holy Friday, is crucified love, the highest form of love. In Greek, the word is agape. In Latin, caritas. In English, translated as charity, but more probably, practically speaking, described as selfless love. The trek toward crucified love is called metanoia, or in English we translate it as repentance. Crucified love is not an idea, it's not an abstraction. It's not a philosophy. Crucified love is a person with flesh and blood. The person of God, the Word incarnate. He is agape. He is selfless love. Fallen nature being what it is, disorders the nature of love. And it makes it inward looking. It's manifested through self-absorption and through self-will. The inward looking person is the reference point for everything. The inward-looking person sits in judgment over others. The inward-looking person, motivated by self-will, is prone to mumble and grumble and complain. He or she has a critical or competitive spirit, always ready to make a rash judgment. And what happens? Well, we see in today's gospel, James and John and the other 10 becoming indignant. What's going on here? This mumbling, this grumbling, this judging one another, this sinning in judgment over others. They're the reference point. What happens? Disordered love causes division and alienation. That's what happens to the inner circle of the apostles. But it's nothing new. It brings disorder. It brings division and alienation in family life, among friendships, in the workplace, in parish life. Authentic repentance is less about fasting and more about reordering one's love. All these ascetical practices are tools to help us reorder our love. What does that really mean? What's going on? It's about restoring broken communion. Authentic repentance is about restoring broken communion. Authentic repentance begins with removing the mask one hides behind in order that one's true self is not revealed. We live in a society, and I don't mean about the pandemic. No, I mean, literally, we walk around hiding behind masks and illusions about ourselves. But there can be no authentic communion when we're wearing masks, when we live by illusions about ourselves. Authentic repentance identifies the false ideas you and I have about ourselves so that we can live in truth. There could be no authentic communion when there's no truth. Authentic repentance rejects the culturally imposed views about the human person, about who you and I are. The culture gives a false icon of who the human person is. And authentic repentance is turning to the icon of Christ, because he's the icon of what it means to be a human being. And when I turn to Christ and recognize him and begin to become an icon after his icon, I become a true son and daughter of the Father in heaven. And I become a true and worthy temple of the Holy Spirit. With 2 weeks remaining until Resurrection Sunday, the church today turns our hearts to the humility of Christ and the repentance of Saint Mary of Egypt. Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, the Word of God. Saint Paul tells us that he did not grasp at divinity. Rather, he emptied himself selflessly and became, and the Greek word is doulos, he became a slave. The English sometimes says servant. St. Paul uses the word slave, doulos. He, the Word of God, who knew in his divinity no suffering, no pain, no limitation, no death, selflessly took on to himself a human nature and experienced all of that. He came to be a slave. He did not seek to be the center of attention. He did not seek to do his will. He came neither to do his will nor impose his will. For the love of his Father and out of merciful love for his creation, he came to offer communion by showing you and me how to love rightly. That is the great challenge for you and me in these final 2 weeks of Great Lent. Every ascetical work you and I have taken on this season should have only one objective: to reorder my love, your love. Now, what does that mean? To make you and me persons of authentic relationships, authentic communion with the four great relationships: God, self, neighbor, and creation. God, self, neighbor, and creation. Let's recall how Great Lent begins for us as Byzantines. It began with forgiveness service. And while this year, because of the weather, we couldn't get together to do it, still, the practice doesn't change. What's the meaning behind it? The fact of the matter is, at the forgiveness service, is we recognize the fact that we have broken communion with God and with one another, with creation. And so we stand, so we begin Lent, and it puts everything in perspective. We stand before one another and saying, I have sinned against you. But what are we saying? I have broken communion with you. I've imposed my will on you. I've taken advantage of you. I've misused you and your dignity as a human being. I've been selfish towards you. I've imposed myself on you. That's what's going on. That's what the meaning is. And it's even with God. Yes, even with God, I impose my will on God. In family life, where have we imposed our will that's brought division into the family? In our workplace, where have I imposed my will that has brought division to the workplace? In parish life, where have I imposed my will to bring division into parish life? In friendships, where have I imposed my will? I became the center, and you're here to do my will, what I want. And if you don't do it, I get angry and disappointed at you. That's selfishness. That's self-absorption. That's breaking communion. And when we break communion, I become less of a human being, because I am made in the image of the being who is community himself. And the heart of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit relationship is selfless love. Selfless love. Hence, at the end of the great fast, if you can boast about how successful your fasting, praying, and almsgiving went, however, do not find yourself reconciled with God, your neighbor, a family member, a co-worker, a parishioner, then you're no different than the Pharisee who stood before God and boasted about how good he was doing all the laws. And as we are told in the gospel, he walked away justified in himself, but not in God. He kept the mask on. He continued to live the illusion. He continued to live in the lie. And so it also is today's gospel lesson. 12 apostles were filled with disordered self-love. There was competition, self-will, and desire for honors and recognitions. And it sowed a spirit of discord and strife in the inner circle. And the result was broken communion. And the Lord took that on. And he said to them, quote, you know that the Gentiles and rulers of this world lord it over others. It must not be so among you. If you want to be great, you must become the slave of all. If you want to be first, you have to become last. I'm not here to do my will. I'm here to listen. I'm here to heed my neighbor and try to always work toward communion. St. Paul aptly summarizes the entire Christian life when he says these words, And so I end this homily with them. If I have not agape, selfless love, then I am an empty gong. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.